This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Philip. We are turning our attention now, though, to the logistics sector. Malaysia's courier and delivery services sector recorded parcel volume growth in 2021, built on the rapid development of e-commerce nationwide.
So we saw key players like Ninja Van and DHL, you know, increase their headcount and fleet size. So they've increased their operating hours to 7 days, expanded delivery coverage, and of course also invested in infrastructure to increase this or improve delivery efficiency to take advantage of this growing demand from e-commerce. But rewind to 2020, because at that time, the Malaysian Communications and Multimedia Commission, otherwise known as MCMC, had announced the suspension of issuances of new courier licenses for 2 years due to an oversupply. And this suspension is due to be lifted in September this year.
So back in 2020, we spoke with Cheong Yen Lee, Director of Deals Strategy in PwC, to tap her thoughts on the impact of that suspension on the industry. We're catching up with her again today to get an update on her on the industry outlook. Yen Lee, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, the MCMC suspension of new courier service licenses is expected to be lifted in the mid of September this year. But do you expect further extension of the suspension?
I think this is probably hard to say, as it really depends on the feedback that is received from the licensing framework consultation, right? And the changes that are expected or needed to be made as a result of it all. But my personal view, I guess, is that any extension is probably unlikely to be significantly longer. And reason being that demand for courier services, I mean, is still in a phase where it's outpacing supply at the moment. I mean, if you look at it, parcel or delivery volumes are still in a very high growth phase. The government has targets to double parcels capacity from currently 14 per capita to, I think, about 30 by 2025. And so any further suspension of the licenses without clear improvement in the delivery ecosystem or landscape, I think will be challenging. And again, this is something that the government clearly recognizes and is trying to address. Therefore, I don't think any suspension will be for significantly longer, if any.
Do you expect a flood of application for licenses once the suspension is lifted as planned?
Potentially, I think, but I guess it really depends on the requirements or the licensing criteria that is being introduced. And really the detail is in the type of new applicants that are expected to come in. I mean, from what we understand at the moment, right, I believe there are three types of plan license categories. The first one being national, second being urban, and the third one being intermediary. My view personally is that it's probably likely to be within the urban and the intermediary categories for new applicants, given the relative low barriers to entry for these, specifically in terms of capital requirements and also the ease of setup for these sort of businesses that can cater to specific localities. But really, it really depends on ultimately what is being introduced in terms of the new licensing requirement. So we'll probably have to wait and see.
Yen Lee, can you give us some idea of how much the e-commerce industry has grown since perhaps the first lockdown that took place at the beginning of 2020? And what is the growth potential moving forward in the next 3 years?
So I think it goes without saying, right, that there has been significant growth in e-commerce, particularly in the last 2 to 3 years. I think you would struggle to find a person that has not made an online purchase in the last month or so, one more even weeks. And if you don't just look back 5 years ago, this would have been a very different story altogether. I think based on some estimates, the e-commerce market has pretty much doubled from 2020 until now, even more so if you compare to like 2019 and 18. And I believe this is expected to continue to experience very high growth in the next couple of years, perhaps estimates between the in the teens in terms of growth rates. I mean, to put this into context, right, I mean, I spoke to some industry players, courier service providers, and some of them have actually reported a 10 to 15-fold increase in the volumes that they are handling compared to pre-MCO days. I mean, this just goes to show the sheer way in which e-commerce has grown and the impact this has had on the last mile delivery players, even for the smaller ones.
There's been a boom in social commerce during this pandemic. How big has that segment grown within the e-commerce sector? And do you see that this will grow further in 2022 and beyond?
So if you look at it, I think the Malaysian market essentially provides an ideal environment for social commerce. I mean, for a couple of reasons, right? One, it has a relatively young population, high internet and smartphone penetration rates, right? And also, I would say a relatively digital savvy population that actually spends huge amounts of time on social media. I think some estimates out there saying between like between two to three hours a day that they spend on social media, which is a lot. And I think that's one of the reasons why social commerce has kind of grown quite significantly in recent years. I think people tend to find it a lot more personable and relatable. And as a result, they find it easier to trust or be convinced about a particular product. I mean, interestingly, whilst this started out as, you know, your mom and pop sellers doing live streams on Facebook or Instagram, I think big established brands have realized the importance of social commerce as a means of driving sales. And I think nowadays they are increasingly focused on this to ensure that they are still relevant and relatable to their consumer base. So I think, I mean, in a nutshell, I believe social commerce even may have the potential to surpass traditional retail going forward. And I believe that this is something that's here to stay and will definitely be one of the key drivers of overall e-commerce growth as well.
So in Budget 2022, the government will be imposing a sales tax on low-value goods sourced overseas, sold by online sellers and sent to Malaysia via air courier. Do you think this will have a sizable impact?
I think in terms of impact, yes, definitely, I think there will be some. But the question, I guess, is then how significant will this impact e-commerce as a whole? So if you just drill down a little bit, people buy these sort of low-value imported goods for a couple of reasons. One of them is because of the wide range of choices and the availability of products that may not be necessarily available locally. And second is because of the quite significant price differential, right? So with the sales tax being introduced on these sort of goods, I don't think it will necessarily impact the choice or the availability of products because that still won't exist. But really, it's about the price differential. So one of two things could happen. I mean, sellers could either absorb the price hikes, whether it's through creative means, whether it's promotions and things like that. Or even if some level of this is passed on to the consumers, I think the price differential between these sort of low-value imported products versus local products may still exist. But however, I think what this means is that it will give actually local manufacturers or producers the chance to compete better because the price gap is narrowing. But perhaps they could also compete on a different angle, for example, perceived quality. So I think if you look at it as a whole, I think there will be some level of impact on imported products. But specifically, if you're talking about the last mile delivery courier segment, I don't think it will necessarily have a huge impact on them because any reduction or, you know, switch over from these sort of imports are likely to be offset by consumers switching to local alternatives. So from their point of view, volume may not be that significantly impacted.
Do you think there will be any M&A opportunities this year, and in what kind of sub-segments and trends do you think that we should be keeping an eye on? Because is there still room to grow cold chain services, perhaps for perishable goods, for example? And are you expecting more cross-border transactions?
I guess as a whole, I believe there is still potential for growth in cold chain services, right? So, I mean, beyond the traditional growth in line with the economy, I guess one of the things that's interesting is quick commerce, right, which is on-demand or instant grocery deliveries. And perhaps also to a certain extent, pharmaceuticals will expect to contribute to the overall further development of the cold chain infrastructure. So, yes, definitely, I think there is some growth opportunities there. But I think in the medium term, right, maybe not necessarily in 2022, but in the medium term, high levels of M&A activity may be seen, particularly within the last mile segment. So I think this is as a result of perhaps players exiting the market if they are unable to comply with the new licensing regulations once that is introduced perhaps later this year. And even also as the courier segment sort of finds some level of equilibrium in terms of whether it's sustainable margins, the number of players required or their breadth of network. I think all this, even as the industry kind of trends towards some sort of equilibrium, will ensure that will lead to some level of M&A activity before it reaches that steady state.
Yan Lee, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Cheong Yan Lee, Director of Deal Strategy at PwC, talking to us about the industry outlook for the logistics players in the country.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.